Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. Thank you for keeping us, Father, in thy hand, Lord. And we also, Lord, be found walking, O Lord, in the light of your word. As your hand guides us and teach us, Father, the precious will, the perfect will, Father, in this life that we live, in this life that we have in Christ Jesus. We ask for your grace right now, Lord. You open our hearts to really receive this truth, Lord. We ask for a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, my message this morning is the well of living water. But before we go to it, I want to show you something that is in the paper, yesterday's paper. How many of you read this? Riding the Internet Way. I guess not many of you. Apparently, a lot of people don't absorb knowledge. They don't read papers, they don't read books. And worst of all, they don't really read the Bible or study it. Now, when I was reading this, Riding the Internet Way, the author here, it was first of February, said 2,000 years ago, Socrates warned that technology will make human minds lazy. Is the internet proving him right? And as a readout, here is what Socrates said. It is no true wisdom that you offer your disciples and only its semblance. For by telling them of many things without teaching them, you will make them seem to know much, while for the most part, they know nothing. Now, I'm just wondering that, I've been taught many of you for so many years. I just wonder whether you really absorb the thing that, I've taught you, all that it goes in one ear and out the other ear. What is it important for us to really know the Word of God? Why? Because, first of all, when you hear the saying, knowledge is power, which is really true, isn't it? So, knowledge is power. And the knowledge of God's Word is spiritual power. You must understand. Likewise, it's the same. The knowledge of God's spiritual Word is power. See? And here's one place where the man said it's so true. On the internet, nobody knows you are a dog. And how true? On the Facebook, on Twitter, whatever blog, your profile. How old are you? I'm 23. Young, sweet thing. When you probably are 64. It may be a dog that wrote it. It may be a monkey that wrote it. Nobody knows. So on the internet, there's a lot of lies and falsehood. Remember this. So as I said, on the internet, nobody knows you are a dog. You know how people get scammed? Right? You heard about it, isn't it? How the man cheat over, talk a sweet thing about on the internet, even on the phone. You see, my friend Peter Ong once said, when we were discussing doctrines about the Godhead, he tried to prove that God is a Trinity. He told me to go onto the internet and look for it. And I said, that's scary. Because you think what's on the internet, everything is true, everything is alright, that's a lie. Do you know Wikipedia? Don't think that what you read on Wikipedia is all true. Because it is not written by people who have knowledge to know the thing and write it. They can write all sorts of nonsense on the Wikipedia. That's why a lot of things that were sent out on the internet, especially by a lot of Christian people. Remember when I talked about, one time I talked to you about, why did Jesus fold the napkin? You remember? That article was sent out as if it was true, those people who sent it out, that Jesus actually folded the napkin, saying, I'm coming back. Because you take it as on a table where
in a restaurant, you phone a napkin on the table to me and said to the waiter, I'm coming back. I'm not finished with my dinner. You understand? And this fellow thought that, well, he got the revelation. You think that in the time of Jesus Christ, they have such European, English kind of a dining on the table. Do you think that Jesus Christ, they all have a napkin when they eat? That's not why Wikipedia is not to be trusted. Anybody can write anything on his Wikipedia. You see. So you contribute to the internet by your Facebook, by your Twitter, right? Your blog and everything. Remember one thing, you present yourself truthfully. Because why? You don't have falsehood to the world. And I've done that, I say, just likewise, the same. That's why I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to have wisdom. And today's message, well, living water, Haggai, let's go. Old Testament book, Haggai, chapter 2. If you don't know where Haggai is, well, he is a small little prophet. So you can find him among the minor prophetic books. Almost at the end of the Old Testament. Somewhere out there, Zechariah.
Before the
Kohen. Alright. So, we read from chapter 2, verse 1 to 9, and it says here that in the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, to governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josadak, the high priest. And to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in the first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes and comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, said the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, said the Lord, and work, for I am with you, said the Lord of hosts. According to the word I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remain among you, fear you not. For thus said the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and it is how all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, said the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, said the Lord of hosts. And in the place will I give peace, said the Lord of hosts. Sure, this is a prophecy. You know, they were going back, after being captive in Babylon, they're going back to build the city, Jerusalem, and build the temple. So then, they also have seen the first temple, the glory of that temple, the golden, beautiful temple that Solomon built. So now they are building this second one, the one when they went back. Ah, this one is not compared to the first one. Surely, this is nothing. The Lord says, just wait. But God wasn't talking about just a third temple, which will be beautiful, of course, when it comes in the millennium. But he wasn't talking about the third temple, he's talking about the spiritual temple that is to come, because he said in the last verse 9, and in this place will I give peace. Yes. In the millennium there will be peace, the Christ will sit upon there in the throne, but true that is true. But what is more glorious than the true temple of God and not the millennium temple? You haven't seen it yet. Everybody looks at something physical. Oh, look at that. Oh, especially in the Philippines. Every time you drive somewhere, you see, Initiative in Cristo. Ingresen in Cristo. They are this church, big building, very nice structure, huh? And the Catholic Church, they are very old. Some of them don't even bother to keep clean. But the beauty, the way they design, looks beautiful. Because of it is very ornate. Now, if you go to St. Peter's Square Vatican City, just go and look at it. It looks, very ancient, Renaissance kind of a building. You know. But that's what the physical eye sees. But have you really seen yet the glory of the true temple of God? The spiritual temple that you don't see with the eye. But God is bringing that to pass. Right now it's in the making. And that's where you find your peace. John 4:14. John 4:14 and John 7 as well, as we can go on to that. Just John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 7:38-39. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this speak ye of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. See that? Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, a well springing up into everlasting life. Rivers of living water. I'm talking about the well of living water today. Now, if you consider yourself a child of God, born again, do you know that you actually have a well right within you? A well of living water. You know, when you get a well, how do you get a well of water? You have to dig deep inside to the ground until a certain depth where you hit some rocks where there is a stream of water flowing underground. You understand?
Yes.
You see? So then Jesus Christ in chapter 7 said, rivers of living water, you know, our spirit shall flow rivers of living water. So, well, if you dig a little hole in the earth, and the rain comes, you fill the hole, right? You can call that a well, but it's not living water. It's a deep water. And it dries up because there's nothing flowing there. Nothing to supply the well, that hole. But it's not just a well living of water, but it's a river of water. Rivers underground are flowing and supplying this very well of living water in your life. So now what is it that Jesus is talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Remember, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Until you have the Holy Spirit, you will not have this well. And if you have been a Christian all these years, what have you been doing to your well? What have you been doing to your well? That is a good question, isn't it? Go to the book of Genesis, 26:18. Genesis 26:18. See what Isaac say here. I mean, what Moses wrote. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistine had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same name his father had given them. Now, you know that in the days when the enemy came against the children of Israel, or even the time of Isaac, when Abraham migrated from one place to another, the enemy took over the place later, because Canaan is very big. They cover up the well, they, you know, seal up the well. But later on, Isaac will go back and dig the same well, reopen it. Why not dig a new well? Common sense will tell you, if you go back to a place where you want to live, and the well, all well is there, what is easier to do? Dig new well or to open up the old well? The old well is still as good, it's just been sealed up, just hack it up. And the water will still be there. By digging new well, you have to dig, you have a whole lot of work to do. You understand? So now I want to think about it, that some of us here, we have been Christian for many years. We kind of dried up a little bit, perhaps. We might have forsaken the Lord for some time, left Him for a while. Isn't it? When we come back, it's because the Spirit of God touched you to come back. When you come back to the Lord, you still have work to do. You have to dig up that well. to let the water flow, to let the living water flow out. The Spirit will not force you. Do you understand? But He will compel you to dig. Compel you to heal. And I said this one thing is, it's a lot of work. He said, oh Lord, I'm coming back to you. Please, bless me. Forgive me. And that's what you do. That would not cause the water to flow. Water to flow, there are two things you need to do. Is you have to study. The well of living water, the Spirit of God flows only from His Word. Remember, the Spirit of God is in His own Word. He can only flow from His Word. You understand that? And when the water flows, then what you have to do, you have to drink of it. Now I want to say this, that do you know that Jesus, I think we have shared this on Friday one time. Do you know that, where was Jesus born? Where was Jesus born? Bethlehem. Am I not right? I mean, you sure? Because the moment said he was born in Jerusalem, in the moment. But in the Bible, it's in Bethlehem. So they have two books, and they are a bit confused. But they all explain that away. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And what is the meaning of Bethlehem? What is the word Bethlehem? What does it mean? What is the Hebrew meaning to the word Bethlehem? Beth. House. Bethlehem. House of God's bread. Bethlehem. Bethel, Bethel. Means actually Z-I-L-E. They're from Bethlehem. It's house of God's bread. So Jesus was born not in Jerusalem, the city of peace, but he was born in Bethlehem. The house of God's bread. Now, you all read the New Testament? If you have read the Bible, you will know something very strange. You will never read it in any of the Bible, your New Testament, that Jesus ever went back to Bethlehem. No? Have Jesus ever went back to Bethlehem? He never went back to Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem, and don't forget that he was the house. He himself was the house, the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, I am the bread from heaven. So he was born in the Bethlehem, the house of God's bread, the little town, not the city, it was the little town. Bethlehem was not a city, it's a little town. And he was the bread that went out of Bethlehem, out of the house of God's bread, as the bread of life, went out 2 feet, and go all over Israel. He didn't go back to where he came in Bethlehem. Do you notice something that is noticeable? No, notice that, yes? And now that he died in the city of Jerusalem, he never died in the city of Jerusalem, he died on the outside. And where was the cross? On Mount Golgotha. Just outside the city. So between Bethlehem and that city lies the cross. You want to have a city of peace? You got to go through that cross too. Because only when that bread was hanged upon the cross, that is river of living water within him, Christ himself, burst forth to supply you and me, you and I, that living water. We do not only just eat food, we have to drink. We take the bread, we have to drink. So the house of God's bread in Bethlehem not only supplied the bread of life, but supplies the water. The water that will just keep on flowing out from within you. Because what is more important than bread is water. Water is the very essence of life. And the Word of God is life. But yet the Word of God is bread. It's only when you read and digest the bread and you have the revelation, then the Spirit of God begins to flow and you quenches your thirst. So how important it is for you and I, therefore, to remember that we have this well within us. What would we want? Why do we just want to let it, you know, get dried up? You know that Isaac in the Old Testament, he just searched all over the place where his father had been to reopen all those old wells that the enemy had covered up. Huh? You understand? Alright? Go to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. And verse 2 onwards to verse 13. Just want to examine something here. Go and cry the hearers of Jerusalem. Say, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thy espouses, when thou went up to me in the wilderness in the land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruit of his increase, all that devoured him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, said the Lord. Hear you the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the family of the house of Israel. Ask to the Lord, what iniquity have your father found in me, that they have gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and have become vain? Neither say they, why is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? They led us through the wilderness, through a land of desert and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt. And I brought you into a plentiful land country, to eat the fruit thereof, and the goodness thereof. But when you enter, you defiled my land, and make my heritage an abomination. Now remember this thing, when you come into the house, when you come into the promised land is Canaan. And we have our promised land, which is the Word of God. We have returned back to this home. Is that right? Now just read verse 7 and apply it spiritually. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the gladness thereof, and when you enter, you defile my land, my word. You give no regards to my word. But, and make my heritage an abomination. So you're supposed to be a God's heritage too anyway. Huh? Do you live the life of Christ? Do you magnify the name of Christ in your life? The priest said, not. Where is the Lord? And there the hand of the Lord knew me not. The pastor also transgressed against me, and the prophet prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that I do not profit. Wherefore I will plead with you, said the Lord, and with your children will I, with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the Isles of Kitty, and say, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. Have a nation changed their gods? Where they have no gods. But my people have changed their glory for that which do not profit. Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, said the Lord. Verse 30. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and here are old cistern, broken cistern that contain, that can hold no water. How sad. Huh? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, instead of getting to me while I would supply their every need, they decided to turn away from me to go after what their vain imagination will work out. You build a system that cannot hold water. You know what a system is? Just a plain hole or a ball or what, something that you can build with your own hand. If you dig a hole in the ground and you don't have any living water down there, all you can do is collect rainwater. You agree with that? And when the rain comes, you may have dug, say, 10 meters down, there's no living water underneath, you don't hit nothing, no water comes. So when the rain comes, yeah, you're filled up. But what happens when there's no rain? The water is going to dry up. Huh? And worst of all, you get a lot of mosquito larvae in there. You got all kinds of insects there because that is water, is dead water. It will not hold. And if you don't have anything to surround that hole in the earth, it sits into the earth anyway when the rain comes. Right? Yes, sir. And that's not what do we build our life? We are Christian. We are people let me say, we're not just Christian. We are God's elect. We are God's saints that have seen the light of this end time. Is that not true? You know something? This brother, Jason DeMar, on his website, sometimes he just sent me, new article that he put there. And he put these two links that he had about the doctrines of the Godhead. And it was expounded by, very briefly, quite nice, expounded by a Catholic theologian. His name is Han Kunz. And it was very nice in return. He explains very good about what the Holy Spirit is, and there's no such thing as a Trinity. And yet, the Catholics have been a Trinity, huh? But not to this theology. I forward to my friend Peter, and then later on he sent me a reply. He said, have you ever considered asking Han Kunz to explain Philippians? Because when about Jesus said, I was with my father, that thing, the verse described that. I know he was trying to be funny with me. And then I replied, should I? He asked me, why don't you write to Han Kunz and ask him to explain that verse? I said, should I? The simple article, it's very straightforward, and the expression is very good, just by a Catholic, who don't see a Trinity in it, explaining who is God, who is Jesus, and what is the Holy Spirit. It's a fact that we know is true. But instead of grasping, accepting it, he wants to find some place to block it. Do you understand this? This is exactly what many end-time message preachers are doing. You know one thing about all this, I'm talking about sincerity all these many times. If you're not true to self, you have a problem. You will always have a problem. You need to be sincere with yourself. Not with anybody else, just with yourself. And you know when you're sincere with yourself, you know your problem. You know your weakness, your strength. And you're going to, when the place where you're weak, you're going to deal with it. You know what Brother Abraham said about? The three things that Jesus Christ said, the last of the flesh, the last of the eye, the breath of life. Huh? Woman, popularity, and money. Huh? Reagan. Brother Abraham said, woman, I have no problem. Popularity, that can go. But money, that's an issue. Because in that time, Brother Abraham was on the scene. There's so many evangelists, ministers, all competing. Yeah? You know that, don't you? Yes. In America, this big pen, this big top, this sawdust trail, they call it. They get a lot of people to come in, huh? In this big campaign, and buckets, big buckets are passed around to collect offerings. And Barabbas never do that. Because anytime you have back, if money is a problem, if there's none, that's it. I'll get off the seat. But today you can see a lot of preachers. When they are, even when they are exposed, huh? You know how that is? When they are exposed, remember? We're talking about the false prophet exposed. They went to another state. They start again. Because they are just level of future lookers. So you need to realize this. Examine ourselves here. As God is saying, you have done two things evil, O Israel. You have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. I am the fountain of living water. And I have, for us Christians now, we have this privilege. We get the very Holy Spirit of God is flowing into our life. You understand? The very source of the fountain of life is passed down to Christ to every one of us. We are all, well, we can say tributaries. See? And let us use that. Never have our own ideas of opinion. Okay, this is alright for me as a Christian to do this. It's okay for me as a Christian to do that. It is not. Do you realize? Is there one thing to realize something that you have done wrong and say, I have sinned? You know, it's for the Catholic, you see. When they have sin, I mean, sin is, whatever they do is sin, they'll be okay. They'll go to the confession box once a month, maybe, huh? Or if a priest in the church recognize somebody they have not been in church for long, then after 1 year, he saw a certain believer. Oh, my brother, you have not been to the confession for 1 year. Come. I'll be there for your confession. You know? So he sits in the box, and this guy will go there to the box. Father, I have sinned. Yes, my son, what have you sinned? And you say everything. All right, say Hail Mary 5 times, 10 times, whatever it is, and have a mass. And your sins are forgiven you. How simple is it? And then after they get up, just like Old Testament time, they sacrifice an animal, right? After that, well, what happened? The spirit of the animal could not come back to the worshipper. Because the spirit of the animal has no real life. But when the Lamb of God died upon the cross of Calvary, his spirit went back to the throne of God and returned back to us. Is that right? You see? Jesus said, I am the living bread of life. He that believes in me shall flow rivers of living waters. And that is when he gave to us on the day of Pentecost. What else do we need? That life flowing within us. Not our opinion, not our this. We are, as well, preach one message. I love that message. The oddball. Do you know that you are an oddball? Huh? Yeah, we are an oddball in this world. See? At one time, you know, back in those days, Pentecost, in the early church, when people started getting Holy Spirit fall upon the floor, and they're speaking in tongues, get drunk like that, what do the people in the other churches say to about these people? Oh, they are holy rollers. Fanatics. And you know what? It's a very bad name to call that. You know. It is not nice to call a holy person. That's a holy ruler. That means sarcastic. Do you understand that? Yeah. It's a nickname. And you don't know Christian is, it's also a nickname. But that seems to be okay. Because the word Christ is there. Huh? Because the word Christian is the word Christ in the nobody, I-E-N. In the nobody. Now I'm nobody. Christ is a nobody. That's okay. That's a good nickname. See? But back in order, they call all kinds of names. You see? Right? So you are a believer. You are a Christian. You are not supposed to have your own, well, sight thinking. Huh? This is okay. That is okay. This is okay. Let us follow the word. Just follow the word. Be simple-minded. But you need to study. Now, we understand that in the system, when the storage tank, they usually actually storage tank. You know, in those days, the army, when you're out in the army, I mean, even the Second World War, you know the helmet? When you are fighting out there in the desert, all this, or in the forest, when they run out of water, what happened? They could not find a stream, they could not find a forest, what did they do? When the rain comes, they take off the helmet, collect water. Your own hair, the helmet is you put on your head to do. So maybe out there for days, you don't shower. So you collect the rain, here in desperate water, so you drink it. And he says, you don't think about it being taste anything different. He says, tastes good. Because I need living water. Right now, you won't want to take a pond where it's stagnant and then you find probably dead animals inside there. You can't drink that kind of water. So that's what a cistern is. You dig your own cistern, maybe a container, whatever you built. Make out of poultry, clay, whatever it is. That's the amount you can collect when there's drought, you're finished. When there is no rain, then water dries up. That's it. That's all you have. Now, people who build cistern now, we have this message that God gives us. As I said, there's no full stop at the end of it. Huh? Correct, huh? There's no full stop, huh? It's just a comma. This is the message that God gave us. It's just a comma. Take a pause. Continue. Now, in the days when Moses was with the children of Israel, out there in the wilderness. Out there in the wilderness, there's no food. God supplies them what? Manna. Okay, manna. So they collect manna. Oh, they're so happy the first time they had ever seen it. And Moses said, you only collect enough for the day. In the morning you get up, you see the goat, you only collect enough for the day because if you hoard them, you turn back. Some of them they won't believe Moses. They're afraid that tomorrow there'll be no manna. Huh? So they hoard a lot. What happened to the manna in the morning when they get out the following day? There are maggots in there. Yes, sir. So cisterns are just like that. If you build your own system, it's just like that. Huh? You know. A living water will always taste sweet. Alright. Jude 1, verse 3. We all know Jude 1, verse 3. Right? Don't forget. This is Jude 1, verse 3. We should never forget this verse. Beloved, I give all diligence unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's what we are doing. So important thing when you remember, wells, the deeper you dig, the more steady the flow of life-sustaining water. And that is true, huh? There might be layer on layer of different kinds of rock under the earth. So you hit the first one, there's no water. You break that down, between layers of this rock, you get water. But if you break further down, more layers, you get more water because you are deeper. And that water will flow, came on coming out. More steady flowing out. That's what we should do. Digging is hard work. Of course, digging is hard work, but what do you expect? Huh? Isn't it true? Digging is hard work. And that is what we are talking about, this word of God here. You want the water continually flowing into your life, deep, you know, more flow, much more water coming out into your life. You have to dig into the word of God. And it's not just reading the Bible every day. It's okay reading the Bible every day. But you need to study and dig into it and understand. That's why I said about the knowledge of God. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Not the knowledge of the world, but the knowledge of the Word of God. Do you realize this? Do you know that if you are not digging into the well, if you are not in fellowship for a long time, you know how dry you feel. I guess you all know that. You know how dry it is when you don't have fellowship. Huh? I think Sister Bree knows about it. If you're all alone, you brother Billy Kirtner, he's all alone in the house. Alone by himself. There's no fellowship and there's not even human contact. A saint to fellowship with. You know how dry they can really be? Huh? So the only way that he has to do is to go and dig into the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God, read it, study it, immerse yourself in it. You know, I expect, well, you know what, I believe one thing. I believe that what the prophet Joel is talking about, Joel 2:28, I think that's 2:28, yes. About the last day I brought my spirit upon all flesh, you know? Young lady, young man, old woman, all this will dream dreams, see vision, and so on and so forth. I believe it. Many of you have not yet been touched by it. But do you know what? I believe it will. I believe God is going to give you all dreams and visions. But you must get into the place where you are ready to receive. Huh? Your relationship with the water of life. And that's why I think my mother is somehow blessed in a way. Though she was not in the message in the past, you know. But she loved the Lord. She would take the Bible, she would read every night faithfully, and she would pray for every one of us. Knowing, but she doesn't have that much knowledge though. Only she read the Bible, you know, sometimes she goes to the church, and Presbyterian church, a teacher speaking church in Prince Up Street. Yeah. But when she came to the message, when she realized what I showed her, and she saw it, she got baptized, and she did what, you know, she was told to do by the Word of God. She thought I was the one who forced her. I said, no. I said, that's in the Bible. You do as you like. The Bible, I show it to you, that's all I can. If you don't want to obey, that's not my business. That's between you and God. After a while, okay, she took off the ring, you know, the earring. I said, oh no, it's a grumble, some of you. And then she began to love the Lord and walk and the best know how. Then the Lord gave her the vision. Yeah. So it's your attitude, it's your work, it's your sincerity to know about yourself. So dig the well, spend the time in the Word of God. Alright, so shallow wells are going to dry up in the summer, usually. And what is summer? It's heat. So now if you don't dig your well deeply, when the heat comes on you, when the pressure comes on you, what is going to happen? Will you last? With the battle, will you be able to fight the battle? Tell me, when the heat is on you, it's doing no good, huh? If you don't dig deep enough. Even in a war, in the front line, you have to dig your trenches deep, or in the foxhole. You've got to have, you know, when you're told to dig, you take up your spade, you start digging your foxhole, huh? You want to make sure you dig it deep enough so that your head is not above, but a bullet can get through it. See? So, deep! Because the deeper you dig, then of course, it's hard, a lot of hard work, hit the rock. Sometimes, you know, when people dig in those days, dig the well, they pound, they keep on hitting the rock. You know how thick the rock, the rock is? So some people give up. Not knowing that when they hit after so many days, not one more inch, and they give up. They'll break through. No, they should not hit until, once you pass through that, you know, the pressure of the water will shoot up. And you have water for life. Out there where, whatever the wilderness that you are, they call your home. Alright? Thirsty. Now, why did God put thirst in us anyway? Whether it be natural thirst or spiritual thirst, is that when you're natural thirst, you look for water. No matter what, you look for water. And when you're spiritually thirsty, you also will look for water. Huh? And sometimes you say, oh, I'm okay, I'm a Christian, I'm not thirsty, I'm alright, you know. Did you go to church? Ah, well, I've been there to church, I think, 3 months ago. 3 months ago, I'm still not thirsty. You need to be. You should be. Alright, and there's this one good case about David's three mighty men. The book of 2 Samuel 23. I want you to see how this affects King David. 2 Samuel chapter 2, chapter 23, sorry, and verse 14 to 17. And David was then in the whole land, the garrison of the Philistine was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. Remember Bethlehem, which is by the gate? And the three mighty men break through the holes of the Philistines and threw water out the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. Though these things did these three mighty men. Well, the Philistines had a town in the surrounding area. David longed for the drink from Bethlehem. What was so much so with that drink? And Bethlehem, there's no drink here. You know that, don't you? They have water. But David said, oh, I love that water in Bethlehem. I long for that water in Bethlehem. What Bethlehem? What's so special about Bethlehem? Or is it because, maybe he just got a paranoid, maybe he just being religious. Huh? And I can tell you one thing, the water in Bethlehem tastes different from the water out there. You can be sure. You know that, don't you? Yes. Water tastes different, you know. When I went to Fiji, I love the Fijian water. That's real nice water. But in the Philippines, the water is terrible. Most of the places, the water are just, you know, limey. You know, when you shower, you get all this lime deposit, and they always put down there, special water is not drinkable. So you have to buy water bottle, bottle water. But any time the water comes from underground, just imagine that, why is the water in Bethlehem so special? Do you know that the water that runs underground, the well passing through the town of Bethlehem, goes right also into Jerusalem? It's the same that is underground, there is a spring of living water waiting to be, well, brought forth in the day when Christ comes back. The water! David loved that water. Bethlehem, the house of God's bread. Bethlehem, the house out there is found the rivers of real living water. Where is your house of God's bread? This is the house of God's bread. That's a house. Don't believe this is a house? Minimum. Take two planks and you have a house. Is this not a house? Does it look like a house to you? Yes or no? It does, isn't it? That's the house of God's bread. And that's, you know why, David, you know, three mighty men went through in jeopardy of your own life. Got that dream. Oh, you know what? David is the king. You know? And there's some. But when you brought water up, David couldn't drink it. Because why? He represents the life of this man. Jeopardizing himself, huh? What happened? They got killed. What check? When Jesus Christ died upon the cross and his spirit, his son, what came out? Water and blood. Two of the same element. Right? It all came from where? Bethlehem. From Bethlehem. Isn't it? What's so special about Bethlehem? Bethlehem, oh Bethlehem, the Ephrathah. Tell me be lamenting, woman will be crying because the children were killed. Remember the prophecy? What prophecy was that? Anybody know? That's good Old Testament. I think it's that Zechariah? Maybe we should just go look for that. I like that verse. If anybody can remember where it come from. Let me see. Oh, what a... I want to read that verse because it really makes us to see the importance of that land. Anybody find it? Of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, who is going forth having from of old, from everlasting. See the prophecy? And yet in another place, of course, how the children would die, they'll be screaming. That's what's so special about Jerusalem. The house of God's prayer. That's what's special about this Bible. Huh? Now, to me, I cannot do without this Bible. When I always travel, this Bible is always in my backpack. It's never even a checked-in luggage. Because if you check in the luggage, it can travel thousands of miles out of my hand. And I'm helpless without this Bible. So that's why I always keep this Bible. Even if the plane is going to crash, I will grab this Bible. I will probably next time bring with me a Ziploc bag to keep it from being wet if I should dive into the water. Maybe it will save my life because there's some air in the Ziploc bag. Give me a float, I can't swim. You know, this is life to me. I don't know about you. You believe that this is life? Yes. This is the world living world, and we got to dig and we got to take it. So remember, how the living water where the female water come from. Huh? So that's why David would not drink it. He poured it out as a sacrifice. How could he drink it? Because blood are involved just for this water. Blood are involved. Whose blood? The blood of Jesus Christ when you're on the cross. Remember? Huh? Without the blood of Christ flowing out, there's no cup of living water for you and me. That's what Jesus said. All these valleys are full of rivers of living water. It cannot help. You cannot have it until blood first is shed. Right? Praise the Lord. Alright, now over in Numbers chapter 21. We're about to close. Numbers chapter 21. Verse 16 to 18. Now here we have to worship. And from thence they went to Beer. That is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together and I will give them water. Then Israel sung this song, spring up, O well. Oh, that's the song. I don't know who wrote that. The title of the song is spring up, O well. Huh? See unto it. The princes dig the well. Digged. And how come it's an English word, such thing as digged? It's dug the well, digged. That's dug, yeah, but that's King James English. Digging.
Old English.
Dug. Actually, it's not wrong for me to say give. Give. I'm going to say give. Right? Give. I mean, English is funny anyway. From give past tense, from present tense, G-I-V-E to G-A-V-E. Why not G-A-V-E-D? Give.
Eater.
Yeah, English is a real problem. That's all. So the princes dig dug the well, and the nobles of the people dug it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staff. You see, how is this? We don't come to church and just say, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, worship the Lord, you know, and say, Lord, give me water. Give. The Bible says they dig also. You don't sing unto the well, spring up old well, easy, huh? People think, there's a whole lot of church. It may be today, Sunday, right? There's many churches out there, denomination churches out there, they were a church with a Bible, and they're singing, oh, Lord my God, great I in awesome wonder. How great thou art, how great thou art, fill me with thy Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. And they sing all this song. The Bible is there, and the preacher, look at it, yeah, oh man. Go home, put it on the table for 1 week. Next Sunday come, they take the Bible, go to church again, go by, put the Bible there. You know the song, the family Bible? There's a family Bible on the table. Its pages worn and tattered be. Huh? That's a Bible that the family used at this, worn and tattered. But there, I see Christians, huh? For many years they're using the same old Bible and it's very clean. And now we have, you know, some pages never been read, you see. And then when you turn the pages, still two pages stuck together. These have never been read. You know, your Bible are like that. They stick together, right? How many of you have been a Christian? Oh, 30 years. Oh, the Bible still stick together. Kind of strange. Same old Bible. So, you know, you don't just sing and worship. They dig. They dig. That means you have to study. That's the reason why it's one thing about worship, fellowship. The Bible says you need to hear the Word of God. You need to study to show yourself approved unto God. Amen. So finally, I want you to read this verse. Zechariah 47. I love this one. Zechariah 47, verse 1 to 5. Zechariah 47, verse 1 to 5. Huh? Oh, Ezekiel, sorry. Yeah, I said Zechariah. Ah, I'm very sorry. So, you see what? The tongue twisted. Sorry, my tongue is twisted. Ezekiel, not Zechariah. Ezekiel 47, 1 to 5. Son, were you reading in there?
Afterwards, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the other gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over.
Uh-huh. And the next, that's the millennial temple you're looking at. That's the future you're looking at. You look at new heaven, new earth. And yet you know what? We are the people of God in this time. We only don't want to dig the well that goes deep and have water coming out. We want to have water to swim in. Are you not a fish? Are you a fish or a chicken? I'm asking you. Are you a fish? You're a fish, you know? Yes. Jesus said to the disciples, I'll make you fish of men. So we are fish. caught by Christ's net of the gospel. For from out of the sea he put us into his well of living water that we can swim in. It's not a, you understand what I'm talking about? It's how do you immerse yourself into the Word of God. Not just drink the water that is flowing. We want to swim in the water of God's Word. You don't believe you could swim in the water of God's Word? I'm swimming and I will not be sinking. In the natural water, you ask me to jump, I'll sink. But not in the spiritual water, I won't sink. Not only will I just float, I swim well. And that's all you and you ought to be. Swimming well in the water of God's Word. You understand? That's what is important for us. So in closing, remember this. Don't have your own ideas, be your own system, you know, away from this Word of God, and have your own opinion on everything that you want to do, whatever doctrine, that's what is happening out there in many parts of the world. The churches, they're digging. I mean, it's not like to dig new wells. Okay? But if you are starting to dig new well, you must know where to dig. But if you are building system, you have a problem. That's why people are going to charismaticism. Strange doctrine. There's a brother Andrew's church in Lyon. He split the two because somebody came in with the doctrines of Dom Pennell about the Third Testament. What is the Third Testament? There's only one Old Testament, New Testament, but they come up with the Third Testament, that's Brother Branham's stuff. And they're there in the millennium also. And those who do not believe in his teaching, we are like ashes under their feet. So their sins are ruling now. These are all these funny doctrines. You see? That's a great danger about it. You are digging something that's not even a well, not even a new well. It's a system. You understand? Okay? And smart when you dig it deep, as I said. Not like the one that Joseph. Remember he was taken by his brother and threw him in the well. And the well was dry. And when it's a dry well, remember, it is bondage. You are a prisoner in a dry well. So if you start drinking, then you will start growing. And the more that you drink, only that you begin to know how to swim in the Word of God. May the Lord bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless and take the word, Father. And speak to your children, Lord. May each and every one of us, Father, Lord, get this thirst, real thirst, real thirsty, Father, to really dig into thy well of living water and drink of it. And Father, we ask for your grace, O Lord, that you bless every one of us, that in our hearts desire, Lord, we stand before you sincere. Stand even looking at ourselves, that we be sincere of ourselves, Father. Where we are weak in, Father, we will look to you, seek your face, Father, and be strengthened in thy word. So, Father, we ask for your blessing and keep us, Lord, in Jesus' name.